This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So a lot of people see that as that's modern day witchcraft, which is like a scary term. But
this is Wicca, like with the jinn and stuff, right?
But the love I have for Jesus is what brought me into Islam.
Like, they would basically tell us there are people over there, they hate all of you, they want all of you dead. But they also cast spells and stuff, which was never so much my thing.
That's dealing with the jinn. That's
the halal animals are slaughtered, and that meant the world to me. So I didn't know anything about Islam, and I definitely didn't know anything correct.
This is the
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings and peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. Now my next guest, Sister Faye, was raised in a rural Christian Bible Belt where white was considered the only color that mattered. And Christianity was a common topic, not just in the church, but also in school. She says the Sunday school embedded her with the idea that you are born a sinner. She grew up watching the people around her preach Christianity in the church, but outside would turn to lying, stealing, cheating, and practicing ill will. She came to associate her religion at the time with hatred and ignorance, and God too by association. She went on to explore other religions, and for a long time, she said she was a pagan and spent time investigating, looking into Wiccan and other religions, and decided that energy made the most sense to her. But she also believed that there was something greater out there. About a year and a half ago, she met an amazing Muslim. She had never been exposed to Islam. The morality and compassion of this Muslim was astounding to her. She started reading about Islam, met a Muslim friend, and she's here with us to share her story. Let's start off with Faye, Sister Faye, before we get out with our next guest. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum
assalam. How are you?
I'm all right.
So you grew up in the Bible Belt.
What? Yes.
Yes, can you tell us about this?
It's uncomfortable. It's incredibly racist, to be honest. If you meet someone who's not white, it's an anomaly, probably less than 1%. I grew up most of my life not actually knowing what race was.
But you're not that old. You would think that's maybe from the 1920s or something.
It still like exists? Yes, they still do lynchings and everything sometimes.
Where is this in America?
It's southern West Virginia.
Wow, that's amazing. SubhanAllah. So is that like where the KKK is from?
I have no idea. Uh-huh. I hope not.
Because I know they still have people think that this group has been eradicated, but they still have, I believe, like 200-some functioning branches in the United States. Yeah. So tell us, so you're growing up, you started off with your faith, Christian faith?
Yes, it was more of the, when you grow up in a faith, it's just what's there. You don't necessarily know if that's, if it's anything other than what people practice. Mm-hmm. So everyone there, all the children went to Sunday school every Sunday. I don't think I ever heard of any other religion for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. So from there, what happens? How did you hit a crossroads? Were you, at what point in your life did you start to drift away and realize, okay, this is not for me?
It started with one day, like every day in Sunday school, they were constantly talking about Jesus more than God. And even as a child, it just seems weird when you say you're worshiping God to constantly be talking about Jesus every time. You never hear the name of God. But the main topic every Sunday school was you were born a sinner. And so you need to repent one day or you're always going to be going to hell. You're always going to be weighed down by your sins. You need to repent. You're born a sinner. And for me, this was rough because I was being abused at home. So this told me I'm being abused because I'm a sinner. And then one day they said, anyone who wants to accept Jesus Christ into their heart as their Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Everybody like closed their eyes and everything, and my hand shot up there because I'm like, this is it. This is going to be better. This is going to change my life. And I go in there, they tell you exactly what to say and that you're supposed to see Jesus and he's supposed to accept you and everything, you're no longer a sinner. You've got him in your heart, all of that. And I did my best for however old I was at that time. I think it was the most fervent I'd ever prayed for anything, and I saw nothing. And it broke my heart. And the next thing I know, they're like, you saw him, right? But I knew from experience, if you tell someone something they don't want to hear, bad things happen. So I lied on top of being brokenhearted about this. I lied. And I go back out there and everybody's like, you've accepted Jesus. And I'm just sitting there crying and they're thinking I'm happy. And so that jump started it. And then from there, I just started seeing that nobody was the way Christianity was supposed to be.
So that's interesting because we, as Muslims now, I mean, you know this, that we're born, every Muslim is born upon the fitrah, the natural inclination to only worship the creator of the heavens and the earth. So your innate nature was rejecting this worshiping of Jesus, would you say?
Yes, I would say it didn't do anything for me. I know it does something for other people, but I didn't feel anything in church.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've interviewed so many different, hundreds of people who with similar situations that they would just be really, you know, amazed, like, okay, everything, I'm going to church and everything revolves around Jesus. I mean, it doesn't take anything away from him because, you know, obviously now, like, it's a tenet of our faith to believe and love Jesus, just not as a God or a son of God, but a messenger that was sent, just like Abraham, Moses, Noah, and all the other messengers, calling people to worship just one God. So now, Islam still didn't come across, you still had no experience with Islam yet.
No, they would not talk about the religion there.
Did you ever hear this term, Islam?
I don't think I did, honestly. The most I got of it was we would see, in history, would see pictures of people in the Middle East, and there was this general, like, they would basically tell us there are people over there, they hate all of you, they want all of you dead, and it's religious. And that's about it. That's what we were told. So I didn't know anything about Islam, and I definitely didn't know anything correct.
Okay, so now you're at this crossroads. You don't know much or anything about Islam. And from there, you get involved in Wiccan?
Yes, I have.
Tell people for the audience that they have no idea. What is Wiccan?
So a lot of people see that as that's modern-day witchcraft, which that's is like a scary term. But
this is Wicca, like with the jinn and stuff, right?
No, actually.
No, right?
It's people who worship nature mostly. That's why I usually hung out with Wiccans, because they're some of the most positive people I've ever met. Mm. They love everybody. They love nature. That's just all they do. But they also cast spells and stuff, which is never so much my thing.
That's dealing with the jinn. That's the unseen world.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's amazing. Let me. I don't want to leave our sister out. Now we got another great introduction here. Next in line, and we'll go ahead, go back and forth. Our second guest, Sister Isadora, never really felt like she belonged anywhere, but she had always been inclined towards search for religion, for God, for understanding. Her parents had their faith, but weren't church-going people, seeing church and religion as more of a money-making scheme. Yet, at the height of her spiritual awakening, she would attend non-denominational Catholic and Presbyterian churches every week, just trying to build her spirit and more, and understanding who God and Jesus was. There was even a period of time when she studied Jehovah's Witnesses and Judaism, but couldn't even connect there because it seemed like a religion that focused more around the group of people of a particular race, ethnicity, than a religion for all people. She's also here with us to share some of the highlights of her story, why she accepted the way of Jesus, but not the worship of Jesus. Assalamu alaikum.
I don't know how to say it. Peace be with you as well. Yes, I'm still learning. I'm very much in my infancy with Islam. I've been fortunate to make a wonderful friend here, Faye, and she's teaching me as I'm going along and as we're interacting and gaining a relationship as well.
Everyone has those beginning steps.
Yes.
And we want to congratulate you, everybody here. You know, so you just recently accepted Islam.
Yes, in December.
In December?
Yeah, December 2nd.
Takbir! Takbir! Yes, this is like kind of like hallelujah, but God is praising God, God Almighty, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Your parents, they also came from a Christian background, but
yes,
they really weren't practicing Christians.
When we were younger, they would drop me and my brother off to Catholic church, and I did my communion when I was younger as well. When I was older, I guess when I got into my first marriage, what is the second part that you do? When you really accept Catholicism, I did that. But as far as my parents, they really never pushed religion on me. They actually told me to stay away from it. And then for me, I've always had this inclination to search for God, to search for understanding. And unlike a lot of people, that when I watch a lot of Muslims things on YouTube, people haven't connected with Jesus, whereas like I felt like I had a real connection with Jesus. Jesus was real. I read the book of John. Like, I understood the Trinity. All of these things were real to me. In Islam, I'm learning to kind of separate the ideas and focus on God and God alone. But the love I have for Jesus is what brought me into Islam.
That's the beautiful thing about Islam. Like, usually when people come to, you know, obviously Islam, submitting your will, like in the Lord's Prayer, O our Lord who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's submitted. That's Islam. To submit your will, not to Jesus, because Jesus submitted his will to the Creator, and giving Jesus his right as a messenger, but he was a messenger for that time. Moses, a messenger for his time. Prophet Muhammad is a messenger for your time, my time, for our time. And he's the seal of the prophet. He's the last and final messenger. And this doesn't take away from Jesus at all, because obviously as Muslims, if I say any ill thing about Jesus, if I disrespect him or I deny him as a mighty messenger, this can land me a ticket to the hellfire, right? So as Muslims, we're proud to say we love Jesus. Do you guys love Jesus?
Yes.
Are we just trying to like rub shoulders and gain points for that with our Christian neighbors? Or is that the truth? Can I hear you? Absolutely, alhamdulillah. So it's like making those adjustments, you know what I mean? It's like when you go in your fridge, Islam allows all the tayyibat, the pure, the good foods, but you got some bacon in there, you're going to have to replace it with maybe some turkey bacon, right? If you got some alcohol, maybe, you know, you got put some non-alcoholic for a time, but just get rid of it, you know what I mean? If a person has some statues, sticks, stones, and bones as they worship it, you make some adjustments now. And they're in the debate now, you know, usually if you go into different churches, you got like pictures of a white Jesus, a Spanish Jesus, African-American Jesus, and they're like, this is God. You get rid of all that, because you worship the unseen Creator who is the most loving, the most just, the self-sufficient, you know, those beautiful attributes that we get to know Him by, and you just make those small adjustments, you know what I mean? So those are those baby steps that we take. So tell us, let's go back to you. So you get into the Wiccan, and then what goes on from there?
I was in that for a while, but like I said, it just the spell thing never did it for me, especially because it seems like it's mostly a lot of people who are lost and they're looking for meaning, and I don't think I ever met anyone who seemed like they'd found meaning in that, and I didn't find meaning in it either. I would feel kind of like an energy if they were casting a circle or something, but I came to decide like this is the feeling of belief when people have faith in something, because I went to conferences for Qigong too, and when you have a bunch of people who are trying to put positive into the world, you feel something similar.
Mm-hmm. So just like our sister was saying now, because a lot of times Christians have a really deep love for Jesus that they end up elevating him to the status of God, right? So how did you now, coming to Islam, see how Islam viewed Jesus, and how did that appeal to you?
I didn't come from Jesus, because Jesus kind of fell from the wayside for me, because I had that association with Christianity. Before I ever heard about Islam, I did start to learn some things about Jesus that you don't normally hear, because you usually just hear water from wine, all of that. And I started to hear things about, like, basically he and I would probably get along. He wasn't for corruption either, stuff like that. And so I started to respect him. And then I, like I said, I met that man, and I started to learn about Islam from there, because I started to learn, oh, why are you so honest with me? I'm not used to men being honest, and I'm not used to men like taking care of their appearance. I'm not used to men like actually wanting to give to homeless people and do good things for their friends and their family if they make money. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to this. Why is this? And he would explain, you know, this is Islam. And he always spoke of it with such endearment, and that's not something I was used to either. Usually when I hear people speak of Christianity, no offense to people who do it well, but it's almost like a bragging thing. It's like, oh, I'm Christian, I'm in the club. It's not, oh, Christianity does these wonderful things. It teaches me how to take care of myself and do good for others. It's a different attitude I'm seeing in Islam, and I saw that with him, and that made me curious, because like, I'd already occasionally been like, would I ever turn to God? Which was a thought that I wasn't expecting to have. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that, I'm like, well, what is this? And I started looking into it more.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, I mean, if we go back, because obviously, you know, the thing that differentiates Islam from what we say many of the man-made religions is this pure monotheism? Because somebody can do a world of good, and you'll see in many religions, there'll be people who practice the religion, and they're very charitable, they'll be kind, they don't lie, steal. There's people like that who take those moral teachings, but at the end of the day, if it's not based on the pure monotheism, that is what corrupts all of the good deeds. That's the beautiful thing. So how was it the appeal for both of you now, this when as you guys are learning, you know, this direct connection to worship the creator, not the creation? How did that make into your decision to accepting Islam? Either one of you.
Okay. even when I was pagan, I'd always noticed, like, even when things got bad, no matter what, I would get where I needed to go. Something would turn out. I was never, like, completely destitute. I was never, like, nothing. The worst never happened. Something always worked out. And I noticed that time and time again, and people would say, you know, no, there's no plan. You know, things just happen. And I just never accepted that, regardless of what I believed. And I always felt like there's something making this work out, because if you look at everything, no matter what I went through, I had to go through it to get to this good point in my life. And so if that's not a plan, what is there? And so that, to me, it was just a matter of taking those steps and recognizing that that plan, that force, that was Allah that was doing that. That there was somebody in my life actually had my back all along, and I just didn't know that Allah was there.
Alhamdulillah.
I know when you were saying about people raising Jesus to the status of God, but for me, the understanding of Jesus was that God brought himself down to man. And for me, that was the biggest story, and that's where I fell in love with Jesus. And I guess in that, when you say the elevation of it, I never really saw, I didn't disassociate Jesus from God, but it was more of the story of God coming down, which was the biggest part in me accepting Jesus and loving Jesus.
So my question is related to the fact that you said you had some kind of association with the Wicca religion. So does the fact that Islam, specifically Allah, ask us to ponder over the creation, is that something that also helped you in understanding that there, or moving towards Islam? Because we are constantly asked to ponder over the creation, who created us, and all those things. So it's very close to nature as well.
How, for instance, how halal animals are slaughtered, and that, like, that meant the world to me, that there is the emphasis not just on it being clean, but it's compassionate. And so that was just a pleasant surprise.
What was it at the end, finally, that had you conclude that this was the truth, and you ended up taking your shahada? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth. And by the way, you know, when I like to explain this, that this was the same statement, obviously you probably know now, or if you're learning, that if you were living during the time of Jesus, you'd have to make the same statement. La ilaha illallah, there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. And at his time, Jesus was the messenger. At Abraham's time, La ilaha illallah, Abraham is the messenger. At this time, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So what was it at the end that had you profess the statement, and now you're on your way to living it slowly, learning it, and making it a lifestyle?
What got me to profess was the act of prayer, worshiping God, getting on my knees and physically worshiping God. And that's what brought me to Islam.
So how did you feel when you converted to Islam?
It was really exciting. I wanted to do it the first night I came to first open house, honestly, but I wanted to make sure I was doing it for the right reasons. And so I spent a month building up to my shahada every day, like, kind of bursting with it. And then I finally got to say it, and I was so nervous, and I was ashamed that I was nervous, but it felt good. And I left that night feeling like I had a family for the first time in my life, honestly. It was wonderful.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So I'd like to thank you guys for being with us. May the community, and I'm sure you got so many sisters here, you met another one here, that they embrace you and they help you along your way, because it is about getting grounded. And the more we understand and know this way of life, the more we know our Creator, the more we love our Creator, and the more we want to obey our Creator. So may this journey, you know, be a wonderful one all the way to Jannah, inshallah. So, Allahu Akbar. And again, to my viewing audience, that's not a war cry, that's praising the Most High. And we'll see you next time here on the Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Peace be with you, all the way from Florida, Boca Raton. Assalamu alaikum.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about, and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.